messages tonight and maybe send out a warning, precautionary warning, and then give somebody maybe some hope that needs some hope tonight for themselves. And then it may be this evening as we look at what we want to preach tonight that there's somebody we're praying for that's gone wayward. And I want to give us some hope tonight that the Lord knows where they are, and the Lord knows how to bring them back home.
Yes, sir.
I'm thankful for that truth tonight. Amen. Ruth chapter number 1. Let's stand together. We'll read a few verses. You pray for us tonight. And I give it all I got. Every time I get up here to preach, I give it all I got. And sometimes I do that in a Sunday morning, and I give all I got on Sunday morning, and I still gonna give it all I got on a Sunday night, but I ain't got as much to give, all right? And so that's kind of how I feel this evening. I'll need the Lord surely to take us beyond what we're capable of tonight, but I want you to really listen to the message tonight, all right? Ruth chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 19. So they two went. This is Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi? Looks like her, but looks not like her." Amen. And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me.
Amen.
I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" And I love verse 22. It's where we really want to get to preach tonight. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. What a time to come back.
Amen.
What a time to come back.
Amen.
If it ain't the title of the message, I may elaborate on it here in just a minute. But you say, when's a good time to come back to God? Right now.
Amen.
Anytime somebody been out in wayward and in Moab, anytime they come back, it's a good time to come back. Amen. What a time to come back. Amen. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we need your help again tonight. I pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, move through this place the next little while, that you direct us in our thoughts and our preaching. Thank you, Lord. It's been sweet in here tonight already, seeing the saints of God with tears running down their cheeks and their hands lifted up in the air, and Lord, shouts of joy and triumph and victory and praise. Lord, there's some here tonight that can't do that, but Lord, you are helping them too. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you're a God that knows where we are and what we need. Help us now, Lord, in the preaching of this message. I pray, dear God, Lord, you'd let it go forth in power. And Lord, may the word of God not return, Lord, again void, but may it do that work. Lord, we may be preaching to some mother or father, some, or maybe even an older person, a grandparent, Lord, maybe a young person tonight, Lord, that needs this message, Lord, with all their might and all their hearing. Lord, I pray you'd let them hear it this evening. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that you do a work that only you can do. And for what you do, we'll bless and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. I believe tonight, looking around, most of us are familiar with the book of Ruth and the story that is contained within it. This book bears the name of a Moabitess a Moabitish woman who was born in Moab, grew up in Moab, got married in Moab, was widowed in Moab, and yet by divine providence finds herself among the people of God in Bethlehem, gleaning in the fields of a man by the name of Boaz, a Jewish man who is going to fall head over heels for her and take her for his own wife. This story of Ruth is an amazing story when we look at it in light of what God is doing in the life of Ruth. But I want to preach tonight and focus in upon the second character that's in our text. This older woman, this much older woman, this woman that is of the children of Israel and the people of God by the name of Naomi. We'd have never known about a Ruth had there not been a Naomi in this story. Yet when we're introduced to this book of Ruth, we're introduced to this woman, Naomi, her husband, Elimelech, her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They are Ephrathites, and they are inhabitants and citizens and live in this place known as Bethlehem, Judah. We're introduced in this text, in this story, that at this time there is a famine that hits the land of Israel. There's a famine in the land, and there's a lot of angst and a lot of worry and a lot of people wondering, what in the world are we going to do? This family's solution to the time of famine was they would forsake Bethlehem, Judah. They would forsake the place that God and the heritage and the inheritance that God had given them in the land of promise, and they would make their journey and sojourn, leaving all of that behind for the place known as Moab. And I believe tonight that Naomi, amen, is a wonderful picture of you and I about some things we want to deal with this evening. Some have referenced, I had never known this, but in recent days have come to learn that Naomi is being referenced by some as the prodigal of the Old Testament. We're familiar with the prodigal in the New Testament of a young man, I believe a young man, the younger son of a father who came to his father and said, "Father, give me my portion and let you my goods that you're going to give me befall upon me." It wasn't many days after he was given his inheritance, he went the far country and spent all he had on riotous living. You know the story. And we reference that young man as the prodigal son. He is the prodigal of the New Testament. And what a story that is. But, hey man, tonight we want to consider, in fact, Naomi being the prodigal of the Old Testament. Hey man, much like the prodigal in the New Testament, she left, hey man, the place that she should have stayed. And when she left, she wound up somewhere she should have never been. And she stayed much longer than she should have stayed. And she lost, and it cost her far more than as she had to give up. So there's definitely some similarities between the Old Testament and the New Testament prodigal that we have. You see, she is, Naomi that is a picture of a child of God having gone wayward from the will of God. Amen. She's a picture of the child of God that thinks that she knows better than God, that her plan is better than God's plan. That, amen, a picture of a child of God that in times of trouble, times of discomfort, times of anxiety, times where she's uncomfortable, justifies going down a road outside of the will of God, amen, that God never approved of. We call this going wayward. We reference it as being prodigal. We reference it sometimes as backsliding. And I don't really care how you reference it, amen, but this much I know, we as children of God, amen, and being saved, ought to have a desire to ever be in the will of God. How does somebody go wayward? How does somebody turn into a backslider? How does somebody bear the testimony of being a prodigal? I want to say tonight it involves, by way of introduction, five things. Number one, amen, it involves disobedience. Amen, disobedience. In Joshua 23, verse 7 and in verse number 12, when Joshua led Israel into the land of Canaan, he plainly told the children of Israel, amen, that you're not to be dwelling among these nations that are about you. You're not to go down to where the heathens go. If you do, you begin to embrace their ways. You'll learn their tactics. Things will attach themselves to your heart. And Joshua commanded, and those commandments had been passed down. Amen. And so this first step of having gone wayward, leaving Israel and leaving Bethlehem, Judah for Moab. Amen. It involved, going wayward, involved in disobedience. Amen. Can I remind us tonight, there is no replacement for obedience in the heart and life of the child of God. Disobedience, even in minor things, amen, will land us in Moab outside of the will of God. And my friend, will bring great, great trouble into our life. Amen. It involved disobedience. Can I say number two? At going wayward, we learned from Naomi, involved distrust. Amen. You see, it was a time of famine. It was a time when there was hardship coming on the scene. Amen. And yet we find that in the heart and life of Elkanah, whose name means God is my king, and Naomi, who means pleasant, who obviously knows the Lord, amen, had a lacking of faith within their life that the Lord would sustain them through the famine. Amen. Can I say, be careful living a life of no faith? Amen. We who are the just and the justified, amen, the Bible said, shall live by faith and shall live by his faith. Amen. I'm telling you, we can't afford not to live by faith. That's why we've been singing the song this year. Amen. Over and over and over again. 162, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting and confiding in his great love. Amen. Because we understand, according to scripture tonight, amen, that one of the steps involved in us going wayward is, amen, not only a manifestation of disobedience, but a manifestation of distrust. And then let me say, it involved discontent. Of being discontent or discontentment. Amen. Did you catch something that was said in our text verse in verse 21? Amen. Here's what Naomi said. I went out full. Amen. You know what she's saying? There's a famine in the land. When I made my step to go wayward, amen, the famine had not yet struck my life. I still had bread on the table. I still had a fullness in my soul. That, amen, there was still a fullness there in the midst of the famine. And so they didn't leave because they were hungry. Amen. They evidently left because there was a discontentment. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, one of the steps of us going wayward as we began to be discontent, amen, with the blessings of the Lord. I know we're living in a day and a generation of a famine. Amen. But if you're saved tonight, there's a fullness that we have access to. Amen. That we've got to be discontent with. Amen. To forsake the will of God for our life. Amen. And so it involved disobedience, distrust, and discontentment. Amen. It involved distance. Amen. When they leave Bethlehem, Judah, in the time of this famine, the Bible said, And they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. And Moab, they ain't one blessed good thing said in the Word of God about Moab. Amen. It's God's wash pot. It's a place of heathenism. It's a place that's against the law of God. They were, amen, the Moabites, and their heritage was, amen, conceived in immorality and incest and perversion. Amen. They came out of that spirit of Sodom that, amen, produced an incestuous relationship. And God never had anything good to say about this place of Moab. Amen. You say, well, why did they go to Moab? Amen. Well, it's interesting. They say, Brother Jack, I've never been, but they say that you can see Moab from Bethlehem, Judah. It ain't like it's 100 miles down the road. Amen. It ain't like, my friend, it's just days and days and days away. Amen. The distance is not that far. I believe that's one of the issues with going wayward, amen, in these days that we live in. Amen. We think, well, I ain't going that far. I can still see the will of God, and I'll come back. If it gets too bad, I'll return when I'm good and ready. Or if it gets out of the way and the preacher was right about what coming down here is going to do, I'll just sneak on back to Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. But may I say that, amen, that any distance outside of the will of God, amen, if it's a foot outside the will of God, that's a foot too far. Amen. And so we see there is a matter of distance. Amen. And then let me say there is a dismay that is involved in this matter of the life of Naomi being a picture of a child of God gone wayward. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Amen. I see here that the Word of God teaches us that 10 years and 3 grave sites took place before there was ever a return. Amen. You know what happens when a child of God begins to be wayward? Amen. Begins to disobey and distrust and be discontented and let a distance between them and the will of God and His presence. Amen. There'll be a dismay that'll begin to creep in upon our mind and our heart. Amen. And we didn't even intend to stay as long as we stayed and pay the price that we're going to pay. Amen. But when we go wayward, my friend, when we turn prodigal, amen, you mark it down, there'll be a dismay within our heart. Amen. And all of this is typified, amen, in the life of Naomi. Now, this evening, consider this. I want to say a few things. I'll give you my thought. Amen. And y'all breathe. I ain't going to bust you tonight. Amen. It's a good message. But, amen, I see here that, amen, there's a few things that, amen, we could say about Naomi and her backsliding or her wayward path. Amen. I want to say, number one, she should have never left. She should have never left what she did. Amen. She should have never left. I wish that, amen, there is still a husband and some children in her life. Amen. I think that, amen, in the end of this story, that Naomi would even testify, I should have never left what I did. Amen. Ain't it amazing? Ain't it amazing we know better and the things that we know better than to do? And we do them anyway. Amen. That is the characteristic of a wayward heart. Amen. And then let me say this. Not only should she never have left what she did. Amen. I want to say tonight, she should have never stayed as long as she did. Amen. You'd have thought, Brother Tim, when she buried her husband, that awoke her wayward heart up and said, you know what, I better get back to Bethlehem. Yet she stayed, and then the death and the burials of her sons, and for 10 years she stayed away. Amen. Stayed away. There's bread growing in Bethlehem. There are crops that are being harvested there. Amen. There are good things going on back in the house of God. And yet, amen, she stays gone for 10 long years. Amen. Can I say this evening? Amen. She should have never left once she did, but amen, she should have never stayed. Amen, she should have never, amen, stayed there in Moab as long as she did. My friend, if you find yourself wayward tonight, amen, can I say tonight's as good a time as any to make up your mind you ain't going to stay there no longer. Amen. People get in trouble and it costs them more and more. Amen. The longer you stay out of the will of God, the longer you live a Moabite life, my friend, the more it's going to cost you, the more affliction's going to come in your life. Amen. The more bitterly the Almighty's going to deal with you. Amen. And so she should have never left once she did, and she should have never stayed as long as she did. Let me draw your attention to something tonight where the Bible said in verse number 21. Notice what she said. I went out full and the Lord had brought me home. Just stop right there. Just listen to that. And the Lord had brought me home. I should have never left what I did. Now, I should have never stayed as long as I stayed. Amen. But you know what this woman, this child of God testified? Amen. When I wasn't maybe even interested. Amen. When I was deceived within myself and dismayed and could not see or find a path back. Amen. It was the Lord that brought me home. Amen. I'm glad to report to us this evening that. Amen. I'm glad we serve a God. We've got a Lord that knows where we are. Amen. He knows when we've left what we should have never left. He knows. Amen. When we've stayed out of His will longer than we should have stayed. Amen. But I'm glad I serve a God that knows how to bring the prodigal back home. I want to preach for a minute tonight on that thought, when the Lord brings the prodigal home. Amen. When the Lord brings the prodigal home, I'm thankful that in Naomi's testimony, amen, there is a sense of comfort tonight. Amen. No matter where you may be wayward in your heart and nobody knows about it. Amen. Your heart may be in Moab and your feet still be in Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Amen. Can I say God knows where your heart is? Amen. Your mind may be in this world and your mind may be, my friend, in Moab. Amen. While you're hiding in sitting on these pews. Amen. But can I tell you tonight? Amen. The Lord knows where our heart is. Amen. And the Lord knows how to bring the prodigal back home. I would submit to you that that younger son in the hog pen, amen, it wasn't just the hogs that my friend woke him up. Amen. It wasn't my friend that, amen, the citizen of that country he joined himself to that abused him and made life hard on him. Amen. It wasn't just his empty pocket, said. Amen. But Jane, there was a sovereign work going on in his heart. Amen. That God was doing something in there. Amen. When sin had run its course, when, amen, being away from the Father's house, it had cost him everything that he had precious in his life. Amen. I'm glad there was a God at work, amen, revealing to him, amen, a path to get him back to the Father's house. Amen. Naomi, I love this statement. The Lord hath brought me home. Oh Lord, how many times has the Lord brought me back? How many days have I stepped out of the will of God? How many days was my heart beginning to wander? Amen. And I can stand before you tonight and testify the Lord brought me home and the Lord put me back where I needed to be. I don't know where you are this evening, but I'm glad. Amen. For the times when the Lord brings the prodigal home. I want to say a few things, three things, because I'm a Baptist preacher and we only got, amen, the ability to give you three thoughts. But, amen, I want to say number one, amen, when the Lord brings the prodigal home, amen, notice the marvel when the prodigal comes home. The marvel when the prodigal comes home. And so, my friend, we look down the road, we're standing in Bethlehem. And maybe we pass by the gate of the city. Amen. And we look down toward Moab. And coming, my friend, up the road there are two feminine figures. Amen. Walk in the gate before us and we look on. Amen. Word begins to spread. And the Bible even plainly said that when they were come to Bethlehem, and all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And so there was the marvel when the prodigal comes home. Amen. I believe they several things that marveled them and that moved them. And by the way, the Bible said all the city was moved. Amen. They wasn't a man. They wasn't a woman. They wasn't anybody in that city that day when they came back. Amen. They did not stand there in amazement and astonishment. Amen. With their mind blown when Naomi returned home. Amen. I believe there's the implication in verse number 19, that they marveled at her reflection. She's been gone 10 years. We don't know how old Naomi is. We don't know how old she was when she left. And so we don't know how old she is when she returns. But can I say, there's no doubt in my mind that Moab had changed her appearance. Amen. Moab had changed her reflection, her countenance. Amen. That is even implied in the question. Is this Naomi? There's some characteristics that look like Naomi. Amen. But you know what I believe they're testifying of? Amen. The marvel that we all stand amazed at tonight. Amen. Anytime somebody goes wayward, amen, friend, becomes a prodigal, is it not amazing how Moab steals their beauty and steals their strength and steals their potential? Amen. I'm telling you, they all were marveling. Amen. And her reflection, we can't believe what Moab did to her. And I say nobody goes to Moab and goes wayward and goes to the far country. However, we can word it tonight. Amen. Then when you come back, amen, there won't be people marveling at what sin has cost you. Amen. What sin does to you. Amen. Are you listening tonight? Amen. I said I wasn't going to bust you, and I ain't. But amen. At least, amen. Amen. I act like I'm making sense this evening. They're marveling at her reflection. Number two, they're marveling at her reckoning. Is this Naomi? She left. When she left, she had a husband and two children with her. Amen. When she left, amen. When she left with wardrobes and with furniture. And when she left with a lot of things. When she left with confidence in the direction that she had set for her life.
Amen.
But now, my friend, there's a reckoning. They are marveling at the reckoning. You can say what you want and you can try, amen, you can try and dress the prodigal up and hog pen all you want to dress them up, amen, but until they return, until the Lord brings him home, amen, there'll be a reckoning, there'll be, amen, oh, that younger son, when he said, Daddy, I'm out of here, and he went in the far country, amen, you see a young man with confidence. You see a young man that my friend is sure he's right. Amen. You see a young man who, amen, is going to go out and get the world by the tail. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's a reckoning day. And Moab stole this woman's confidence. Amen. And now she's coming back. Amen. And it has literally cost her family. It has cost her marriage. It has cost her sanity. It has cost her. There is a reckoning day. Amen. She went out with confidence in her direction, but it was evident she had been crushed by the cost walking out the will of God. That amazes me tonight. when I evaluate it even in my own life to whatever degree that has happened, when I look at others, my friend, that have full-fledged forsaken all to go to the world and leave Bethlehem behind, amen, I'm always amazed. And I, amen, when they come back, and we thank God for that. I'll show you that in a minute. But, amen, when they do come back, I tell you what makes me marvel is what it's cost them. There are people here tonight, they wouldn't share it in public, but they have talked to me in private about decisions they have made, directions their life has gone, and they're in church tonight, and they, amen, have smiles on their faces, and God has been good to bless them. Amen, but if you can get them to be real with you for a moment, and many of them would be if you asked them, amen, they would testify, I wish I'd have never gone, and you would stand amazed at the reckoning that came in their life. You mock that, you better understand, amen, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is always a reckoning day when we get out of the will of God. Number three, I think they were marveled at her return. They're amazed. Can you imagine 10 years and here she comes? Amen. There is a marvel in place here. Is this Naomi? Amen. I would remind you tonight, she was only one of four that made it back. She was only one of four, only 25%, amen, of the ones that took off to Moab, amen, made it back. And you say, oh, preacher, I'm going to go and I'm going to live it up. I'm going to taste a little bit in the world, and I'm going to do my far country business and sow my wild oats. And there ain't nothing nobody's going to do about it. Amen. And I'll come back. I'll get right one day. Amen. I would remind you, my friend, what the citizens of Bethlehem, Judah knew. Amen. That is the exception and not the rule. I believe that when she came back, I don't know if there was other families likely done the same thing. We don't have no record whether there was or not, but we don't have a record any of them ever made it back. Only one out of the four that we know about made it back. And I believe, my friend, every day, I believe especially probably early on, amen, when Elimelech and Naomi went out and said, we're out of here. We're not going to put up with this famine. We're too afraid. And we're going to go down here. We're discontent with what's coming our direction. And they allowed that distance to creep in. Amen. I believe there's probably some people of God said, you better think about it before you go. Okay, Elimelech, Naomi, you better pause for a minute and give consideration. God said, don't do that. God said, don't go down there. God said, don't associate with that. And my friend, they made up their mind. Is that not ever heartbreaking? Is that not always heartbreaking when you see somebody who blatantly says, I'm going to do my own thing? I believe, Brother Tim, there's some people in Bethlehem, Judah, got on their hands and knees and said, dear Lord, we don't know how far they're going to go, but wherever they go, would you deal with their heart? And I believe they prayed for that family that had gone wayward. My friend, 10 years later, I'm about to shout, amen, here's a good part of the message, 10 years later, amen, here comes that woman. Yes, she's crushed. And there's been a reckoning in her life and her reflection has been marred. Amen, you can see all that is going on. And somebody said, is this Naomi? Is that the one we've been praying for? Is that the one we've been asking God to reach down over there and bring her back? Amen, they were marveled. They were marveled at a return. That's what they had been asking God for. And I remind you tonight, and I know this hits close to home to me right now this evening, and I can't help it, amen, but if you got a wayward child tonight, Amen. You just keep on praying. You say, preacher, they've been gone a long time. Amen. I don't know how many years it'll be, how many more days it'll take. Amen. But it may be, or you'll stand amazed. You'll stand marveled. And you'll stand moved and amazed. Amen. One of these days, God's going to answer your prayer. Amen. I'm glad we serve a God that can do that. She didn't come. I know God didn't drag her back. Amen. I know God didn't drag her back, but amen, she had to have God do a work in her heart. Amen. I believe was a result of the prayers of them people back home that loved her. Amen. And when she came back, it is as though, amen, excitement is breaking out and an uproar is taking place. And the city was moved about them. Is this Naomi? Here is the answer to our prayers. They were marveled at her return. The marvel when the prodigal comes home. Number two, notice the message when the prodigal comes home. Amen. Any prodigal that's ever came back comes back with the same message. Ain't ever been, are you listening to me tonight? They ain't ever been a prodigal come back, say the far country, woo, I'm telling you, best place I've ever been. They ain't ever been somebody went out of the will of God to Moab and come back and tell you, I tell you, amen, the best days of my life have been spent down there. No, my friend, there's a message when the prodigal comes home and Naomi declares this message about her own backslidings that we all should give heed to. Amen. Oh, I believe she was testifying that day. Amen. To a crowd that had not walked away. Amen. Maybe a crowd being tempted to do the same thing that she herself had done. And she testifies, amen, with a message, my friend, that ought to stir every one of us. Yes, number one, she gives a message that concerns the bitterness of her sin.
Amen.
See, I'm going to tell you something. Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me sweet. Call me Mara. Because what I've done and what I have tasted of has been very bitter.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all hang with me now. It's going to get real good in a minute. But amen, I'm telling you, it wasn't what she had decided to do was not as sweet as she thought it would be.
Amen.
You know what sin tastes like? Most bitter thing you never put in your heart. There are people that think they can dab here in it and there in it and it's sweet. My friend, the devil may have it sugar-coated on the surface. Amen. But if he ever gets you to bite into the core of the fruit of sin, you are going to learn of the bitterness of your sin.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She gave a message of the emptiness of her soul. She said, you know what? I went out full. Y'all tried to tell me. Y'all tried to reason with me.
Amen.
Y'all tried to stop me. You tried to correct some things in my life and I wouldn't have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
When I left, one thing I can tell you now that I did not realize and give an account of when I left is that when I was leaving what satisfied.
Amen.
Now the Lord, yes, He has brought me home. But I am empty. I am empty. She is testifying to the emptiness of soul. I wish you young folk would listen tonight. I wish us parents would listen tonight. Amen. To go wayward out of the will of God. Amen. The message when the prodigal comes home. Amen. Is that there is an emptiness of soul. Amen. There is nothing that satisfies in Moab. There is nothing that fulfills us in the far country. Amen. When we come home. Amen. There'll be a message of an emptiness that those choices have left in our life. An emptiness of soul. Notice there is the message of the foolishness of her steps. Here's what she said. The Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi? Notice what she said. Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, the Almighty hath afflicted me. Now there's a lot of common commentators. And somebody said they're called commentators because they're all just commentators. And there's a bunch of them. If you read after them, they'll say, Miss Julie, they'll say, Naomi, she's blaming God. She's blaming God. She's passing the buck. I don't think she's blaming God. I think there is very much indicated personal ownership in what she's saying. You see, when she left, you know what she did? She foolishly was deceived in thinking the Lord would let her get by.
Amen.
Now she's saying the Lord had testified against me. I thought that he would understand. I thought that he would overlook. I thought there would not be a chastening hand upon my life. Amen. Foolish to think that the Lord would let her get by with these steps.
Amen.
And I remind you tonight, it is a foolish thing to think you can go wayward and there is not going to be any repercussions.
Amen.
For what you do. The message. Last of all, and I'm done. Somebody say amen. Boy, I've only been preaching 10 minutes. Why y'all look like that? Amen. Can I give you this? Boy, this is really where I wanted to preach. We see the marvel in the message. Will you look in the last verse with me, and we'll go to the close of the story in a minute. But I want us to deal with for a minute the mercy when the prodigal comes home.
Hey.
She said, the Lord brought me home again.
Yes.
I want to say it was mercy that woke her up in Moab.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it was mercy that made a path all the way back to Bethlehem.
Yes.
And thank God, though she had to bear a reproach, and though she had to live with the consequences of her choices, amen, deal with the fruits of her sin and the bitterness of it. Amen, though there was emptiness on the inside. Amen, oh, when the Bible said in verse number 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen, I believe when she pillared her head there, amen, that night, Brother Mike, that first night in Bethlehem, amen, mercy crawled up in the bed with her. Amen, I believe God put his loving arms around her. Amen, and said, child, I'm here. And child, it's going to be all right. I know that you should have never left what you did. I know you should have never stayed as long as you stayed. And child, I know the bitterness and the emptiness and the foolishness abounds within your thoughts and your heart and your mind. Amen. But I believe God was there to give her mercy. I'm glad on the days that I am going wayward in my heart, that the Lord does not give me what I deserve. Now, I tell you what you ought to thank God for tonight. Amen. Is when you mess up, amen, that God don't give you what you deserve. Amen. I'm glad. Oh, here's what the Word of God said. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Amen. He may have had to beat her all the way back to Bethlehem. Amen. But when she got there and she yielded and she gave up and she returned, thank God, Brother Gerald, she found the Lord was full of mercy.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Naomi repented and returned, but God by mercy restored.
Amen.
I think I need to say that again. I'd have thought for sure somebody just said yippee or something. Naomi repented and returned, but God by mercy restored. Now I'm telling you tonight, had it not been for the mercy of the Lord, amen, we'd have not been able to walk in tonight. Had it not been for the mercy of the Lord, it'd have given up on us a long time ago. Had it not been for the mercy of the Lord, we'd never know what it is of being forgiven and to be cleansed and to be restored. I'm glad there's mercy from the God of glory. The Lord's mercy endures to every generation. Amen. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl and know something of the mercy of God. Amen. Because our God is a merciful God. A couple things I want to say that mercy... Oh, I'm about to have a spell. Can I show you in the text some things mercy gave her?
Yes,
don't miss it now. Number one, it's going to blow your mind. Brother Mo, it's going to blow your mind. Brother Mo's liable to have one of them sissy shouting fits. You get to pop her in the cheek here in a minute. Amen. Number one, mercy gave her a soul. She said, oh, don't call me Naomi, call me Myra. Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. Call me empty, call me afflicted, call me chastened. But don't call me Naomi. I went out full and the Lord had brought me home again empty. I see a woman that is crushed. I see a woman that is taking responsibility. I see a woman, a child of God, that is saying, I'm not blaming it on the famine. I'm not blaming it on y'all. I'm not blaming it on God. Amen. What happened is what I had done in the choices and the direction that I went.
Amen.
And then the Holy Ghost said, so... I ain't trying to make light of sin. God don't make light of sin. And God don't make light of the consequences of sin. Amen. But do you remember over there when the Lord sent Jeremiah down the potter's house and he said that vessel, it was marred in the hands of the potter. Amen. And the very next line said, so he made it again. Amen. That little word so is found all through the Word of God. For God so loved the world. Amen. A system hell bent against him, had enmity with him. But he loved those. Hey, he had a soul. Amen. Because he loved us the way we were. Amen. So mercy gave her a soul. Verse 22 is the Holy Ghost. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Myra. And the Holy Ghost said, so Naomi. Holy Ghost said, I ain't going to listen to you on that. That's crazy talk.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost ever come by to y'all sometimes and say, hey, man, that's crazy talk. That's crazy thinking. I'm the only one. Okay. Boy, I'm glad, Brother A.L., mercy can give us a soul.
Amen.
That tells me God is still at work in her life. So Naomi returned. Amen. One who should have been barred from ever entering the gate. One who should have been left even if had she come back to Israel. Amen. There's a crowd that would have been right to say, hey, you're not welcome here. We don't want you here. And mercy gave her a soul. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, I'm glad mercy gives us a soul. You can focus in on being marred all you want, but God goes, what's this? You know, somebody say something to us and we'll go, so the youngins, y'all will love this because I'm learning all these young people's lingo. They call it throwing hands. Did I get that right? Well, maybe I didn't get it right. Devin, help me out. Am I right? You know what that means? So, I don't care. And I tell you tonight, amen, you can, amen, waller in your misery all you want and try to carry on carrying a weight of bitterness, a burden of bitterness. If you repent,
Amen.
You confess.
Amen.
God is just and He is faithful to cleanse us from all sin.
Amen.
And what you talk about, God just gives you by mercy.
Yes, sir.
So.
Amen.
Mercy gave her a so. Oh, but it gets better, Brother Jack. You know what mercy gave her? Mercy gave her a sidekick.
Amen.
Now, I want to make a statement now, and you see it in the text. You make a step to get out of the will of God, you're going to drag somebody with you. That's why we preach the way we preach. Don't get mad at me for preaching the way I preach. I'm trying to save you. And I'm trying to save the ones you're going to affect when you decide to get out of the will of God. Nobody ever goes wayward that does not take and drag somebody else with them. But I don't want to be mean, so let me get the positive. If you're wayward tonight and you know you need to get right with God and you need to return to God, nobody ever gets right with God that don't bring somebody with them.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
What do you call that? I call it mercy.
Yeah.
I call it mercy. She lost. Amen. She lost the three that she walked away with. Amen. And no doubt that plagued her and that troubled her. Amen. No doubt there were regrets and I wish I wouldn't have had. And all these things she could. But you know what mercy did? Amen. When she made up her mind, I'm going back. I'm going to get right with God. Amen. Mercy gave her a sidekick. Amen. I will say tonight there are some in our generation tonight, if they would get right with God, God could use them getting right with God to bring people who don't even know God into the knowledge of the Son of God. When God got working in Naomi's life, she said, I've had all I can take. I'm empty. I ain't got anything down here. It's cost me literally everything. She said, I'm out of here. I don't even know if they'll have me, but only hope I've got is to get back to Bethlehem.
Amen.
About that time, these them two daughter-in-laws, amen, so if you go on, we go on with you. We don't even know nothing about where you're headed. But we with you. And she said, oh no, y'all turn back. Amen. And she goes through it all in Orpah. The Bible said that she kissed her mother-in-law and turned back and went again to Moab. Ruth said, oh, I ain't leaving you. Say, what's going on? Mercy, the same mercy that's working in Naomi, amen, to bring repentance and to bring about a return and ultimately a restoration. The same mercy's working in a little Moabitess girl, amen, that testifies somewhere between Moab and Bethlehem. I will not leave thee. Thy people shall be my people. Amen. And thy God, my God. I don't know what all you've left. I don't know what all it's cost you. I don't know what all there is to know about this religion and relationship you have with God. But He's doing something in your life that I see that I want. Mercy gave her a soul, but mercy gave her a sidekick.
Amen.
You say mercy gave her a satisfaction.
Yes.
Amen.
She came back in the time of the barley harvest.
Amen.
Why, if you're empty and hungry, there couldn't be a better time in all the land to come back. There's barley everywhere. There's so much barley. Amen. That Ruth goes out on the first day to glean and she comes back. Amen. With all this corn and bags of wheat. And Naomi's gone, where in the world did you get that? See, chapter number 2 said, amen, it was her hap to light upon the field of Boaz. Not luck, it was Hap. You say, what's Hap? Hap's divine providence.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I can't preach all this. I'm running out. Amen. He gave her satisfaction. More than she could eat. She just said, he's brought me home again. I'm empty. I'm bankrupt. I ain't got nothing. God said, that's okay. You come back at the right time. These handfuls of purpose falling everywhere. Everywhere she turns, God's just pouring it on this repentant child of God, returning child of God, restored child of God. How do you explain that? Mercy. What am I on? Number four. You ready? You ready? Sister Debbie. Amen. He gave her a soul. Mercy gave her a soul. Mercy gave her a sidekick. Mercy gave her satisfaction. But mercy gave her a second chance. Chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 is the story of Boaz and Ruth. How God divinely brings him into wedlock. You don't hear much about Naomi, Brother Tim. There ain't a whole lot. She just in her house satisfied, thankful God let her come back. Eating a little parched corn going, man, I can't believe God ever brought me back. And all of a sudden, she sees something in Ruth's eye. The Twitter-pated. She done got Twitter-pated. What's going on? Oh, he's this guy Boaz. He's been looking at me. And every time he looks at me and I look at him, there's butterflies everywhere. Naomi said, I tell you what y'all to do. That's one of our near kinsmen. You know the story. I ain't going to preach all that. Long story short, Boaz and Ruth get married. They do what married people do and had a youngin. But when Ruth had a youngin, you know what they said? They said, this is the son of Naomi. Wait a minute. She didn't give birth. No. But you say, well, she squandered. She squandered her two children. She took them off to Moab and got them killed. Yeah. But God gave her a second chance.
Amen. What a savior.
Said they brought that little baby. Hallelujah. They said that's Naomi's little boy. They laid it in Naomi's bosom. Amen. I'm about to have a fit. You know what they named Naomi's son? Naomi's little second chance. They named him Obed. You know what Obed means? Look it up. Look it up in your word study book. Here's what Obed means. It means serving. I tell you right now, I don't want nobody serving who's a deserter and who is unfaithful and walks out of the will of God. Hey, you better be careful. That could be all of us in the morning. God has a way of giving second chances to serve. Well, we've squandered opportunities and gone wayward and maybe even become prodigals. You know what God has the ability to do by mercy? Mercy gives a second chance.
Amen.
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 Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I have a God that by mercy has extended second chances to me.
Amen.
There's a crowd in religion. Oh, Lord, I have preached too long. Y'all are going to kill me one of these days. Amen. I can't handle it. Amen. There's a certain crowd in religious circles. They believe you can lose your salvation. But you can lose it. If you mess up, God's done with you. Not the God of that Bible. I can just take you to too many places where His children, I'm talking about royally messed up. Bad. And God gave them a second chance. Now here's what that crowd out there says. They say, now if you preach that, y'all are going to take advantage of the grace of God. God has never given me a second chance. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. God has never given me a second chance that has made me want to take advantage and abuse the mercy of God. We shout and I shout on the God of mercy that gives second chances. But I don't use that to go out and just keep doing the same thing over and over and over, because you know God will give me another chance. That's wicked. But it is a blessing. And we've gone wayward. God would say, I know you messed it up, but let me give you a second chance. Here's you another little baby to hold in your bosom. Here's another little bundle of joy. Amen. Here's a little new, fresh life. Hallelujah. I'm talking about when the Lord brings the prodigal home. Some of us have prodigal children. Breaks our heart. Some of us have prodigal friends. I never got a joy out of seeing somebody, the family of God, get sideways and wayward out of the will of God. Say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm praying. Because I know the one. I know the Lord who brings prodigals home. You keep praying. Brother Jack, keep praying. Lael, keep praying. Gerald, don't quit praying. Amen. Betty, don't quit praying. Amen. I go all the way around the room tonight. Don't quit praying. The Lord knows how to bring prodigal home. I won't give an invitation two ways tonight. Nobody here tonight is so prodigal that you're not here tonight. But I want you to be honest. Will you promise me tonight? Julie, will you promise me you'll be honest right now? And be honest about, am I prodigal in my heart? Am I going wayward in my heart? If you are, deal with it tonight before it turns into a walking out the door. Some of you may say, boy, I know I ain't even got to search my heart. I know I am. Hey, tonight would be a wonderful night to say, I'm not staying any longer. I'm going to get it right. If I can return, if God will hear my repentance and restore me, you get on this altar and get right with God. Amen. He's the God of the second chance. And some of us, maybe you're right with God, but there's somebody, as I preach tonight, you go, boy, I wish that son or that daughter or that grandchild or that brother or that sister or that mom and dad was here to hear this tonight. I'm going to give an invitation tonight. I'm not doing this just to try to fill the altar up. Nobody may come and that'll be just fine. But would you get on this altar tonight and say, dear God, would you please work down in Moab and bring the prodigal home?